Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The way I look at him is that, you know, he's a special player and has done so much for the organization in the city that we value him very, very highly, and we think highly of him as a person, and he's closely associated with our organization and our brand and everything that we're trying to do. You know, he's not a free agent. He's not at risk of going anywhere right now, so I know the story raised some alarms, but he's under control here for two more years, which we're thrilled about, and there will be lots of opportunities to talk about continuing the relationship. But more generally, when there's common ground on length, there can be deeper conversations, and that's usually more typical when you get closer to free agency.
What's going on here is not a all-out effort to force our window open quicker. We're continuing to build something where we're able to win on an annual basis, and once that window is open, be aggressive to add and continue and to keep that thing moving.
The progressions that we go through within our offense, the schemes that we run that we're feeling more and more comfortable with as the weeks go by, are only going to get better and better. And so any quarterback, when you're running a scheme or a concept or a player progression for the first time and you're seeing different things, and they do different things, it can be difficult. And so just the more reps we get, the more experience we get of in-game stuff, the better. So common sense says he should be a lot better now than what he was at the start of this year.
Mully at Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We got a lot on our plate. You heard a lot there. You heard Theo talking about Anthony Rizzo. You heard Rick Hahn about additions, about adding to what they have. And, of course, you heard Matt Nagy talking about Mitchell Trubisky, the arc of his season, if you will.
Busy week. Yeah, a lot going on. Winter meetings out in San Diego. The Bears-Packers on Sunday in Lambeau Field. It did not sound like Theo Epstein was very thrilled to be talking about Anthony Rizzo, and I don't blame him.
Yeah.
You have a team leader that was making a contract impasse, an issue publicly by choice of his agent. This is not something the Cubs need to be dealing with at this point. They've got enough on their plate.
They got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
Let them do what they have to do in the time they're doing it and try not to jump in and get yours. I understand the impulse, but it's just the timing of that was pretty ridiculous.
The Cub headline coming out of San Diego has been, or the focus has been on the rumors surrounding Chris Bryant and the possibility of that trade.
Yes.
I would have preferred them, from a Cubs perspective, to be Cubs getting closer with the contract extension with Javi Baez, because don't you remember John Heyman reported last month that they were supposed to get together at the table this week in San Diego to talk about negotiating a long-term deal, the understanding being, or maybe the assumption being, that either Javi or Chris Bryant would come to an agreement this offseason with a long-term contract extension, get them both locked up long-term, and then turn your attention to Anthony Rizzo, a 30-year-old first baseman with a back problem and 2 years left on his deal.
It's interesting, David, because I have been thinking a lot about Chris Bryant. And, I think when we discuss it, we have pretty much a similar opinion on it. I don't think either of us wants to see Chris Bryant go. But I've been reading all the texts. I've been listening to what our callers have to say to us. And I heard what Dustin had to say in the 5 at 5 the other day. And I went for a nice long walk yesterday, and I was just kind of ruminating upon all of that. And I got to tell you, I think sometimes when we start talking about players, I think we all see the same things, some of us more forgiving, others less forgiving. But the fact of the matter is that a ton of people believe that that Chris Bryant isn't a so-called clutch player, that he has loaded up his statistics on bad teams or poor pitching, that that he no longer is getting the power to the other field that he got in the first couple of years. And if they are seeing that too, if they believe that there is an issue with his shoulder that maybe could have been cleaned up, but that he doesn't want to clean it up, that there is an issue with his willingness to kind of stay in the box. There was a lot of talk about that, a couple of texters about the concussion and how that affected him, and he's been a different hitter since then. If the brass feels the same way as some of these texters, then you have to look at what you could bring back. That there must be an explanation for the reason that they're talking about moving a generational talent.
Sure.
And it can't just be financial. It has to be more than that. It has to be the balance between their expectation of what he will be in the future versus what they could get for him.
Maybe. I mean, you're still talking about a lot of that is perception, though, versus reality. I mean, the numbers suggest that Chris Bryant, despite everything you just said, you know, he's 15th in the National League with OPS last year.
Right.
In a down year where injuries did kind of interfere with a lot
When's
of the progress.
When's the last time he had an up year?
Well, okay. But let me finish.
I'm sorry.
I'm saying that, you know, so that's going to contribute. But also the fear of letting him go for nothing, that's not financial as much as it is, you know, puts you at a competitive disadvantage if you let a player like this, a generational talent, walk and you don't replace him with the type of assets that you could get in the open market. So I get the entire conversation and why the Cubs have to protect themselves from that reality. So you're going to entertain trade offers. You're going to maybe initiate some of those conversations yourself because you don't know maybe what how motivated Chris Bryant is to sign a long-term contract extension. My point in talking about this week and overall and writing about it this week is that I think they've got to – you know, cooler heads have to prevail, or however you want to phrase it, they've got to realize what they would be losing and that what they would be replacing Chris Bryant with is certainly would give you assets, but they would be young assets that one day you hope would be get to the point where you value them in your organization the way you value Chris Bryant now. And I'm not sure that's worthwhile. So make it a bigger priority than it seems to be to get a contract extension done with him.
Yeah, I don't know why it's not a bigger priority, but I do believe that these are bright people and that there has to be a reason it isn't. And maybe they have come to a conclusion, or maybe with the negotiations, they've come to a conclusion that he is hell-bent on getting to free agency and knocking a contract out of the park. And maybe they realize that they're not going to be able to take advantage of the 2 years he has remaining in order to extend him. Which again, you know, the reason a player would jump at a contract now with 2 years remaining would be to maximize his earning now, and that's the reason you give up the years for the money. You give up the money for the years, and the team would have the benefit of having a really good player under contract long term. If there is no interest in that whatsoever, then they have to look at the reality of the situation.
The indication, though, there is interest. I mean, Chris Bryant has been pretty what he says behind closed doors, nobody knows. But
well,
he likes being in Chicago.
Right.
He likes being a member of the Cubs.
But, he probably likes the idea of bettering whatever the top contract is, right?
Because he's a Scott Boras client, and that's easy to assume that. And the difference between Chris Bryant negotiating this or this playing out and Anthony Rizzo is Anthony Rizzo already has signed that contract extension. He's gotten his second deal. Chris Bryant hasn't. And I think there are different stages of their careers when somebody may text in or think, well, what's the difference between, you know, why are you making a big deal about Anthony Rizzo, you know, talking about this 2 years out with Chris Bryant 2 years out, and it's a dominant point of conversation.
And here we go again.
They're different stages.
KB is a bum slayer. All you do is make excuses for him.
That's not true. The numbers.
I'm just reading the thought. I'm surprised that there isn't more of a backlash. I'm just saying.
Contractual realities and the fear of losing someone for nothing drive teams to get rid of franchise players all the time in sports. I mean, you are enjoying the best of Khalil Mack because the Oakland Raiders feared losing him for nothing.
Right.
They couldn't pay him, and they unloaded him. And the Bears benefited from that. You don't want the Cubs to be in that situation, do you?
But I mean, what I'm saying, David, is why is there not a public? Why doesn't the public care more? That's what I don't understand. Why if I was a Cub fan, and you know, I mean, the very fact that on the morning we talked about Chris Bryant, all of us kind of agreed that, you know, this is a bad idea and why would you do this, except for Dustin, who is the biggest Cub fan that I know. It's weird to me that everybody is apparently looking at the overview of baseball as opposed to
maybe I heard from
the,
a lot
of the individual
Cubs fans yesterday after writing that and we're talking about it, that I think there's a lot of people out there that would really regret the Cubs trading Chris Bryant. There are a lot of Chris Bryant fans still out there.
Yeah, I just, they don't seem to call. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I would certainly keep the terms and conditions of a contract negotiation private with the Cubs. But obviously, it's always a fairness standard. You want what's fair for him and where he stands in the industry. And that's true of any player.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. That is the voice of Scott Boras. All you want is the industry fair play.
His ears are open, though. Their ears are open.
Okay, is that it? Yeah. Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Fred. Fred's on the road. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Great.
So, yeah, I've been listening to you guys, and I hear you say you're surprised that there's not more backlash. I, for one, would be extremely ticked if the Cubs trade Chris Bryant. I think anybody that would not be is undervaluing him in many ways. The guy plays any position he asks to and never says boo about it. Yes, he's been injured, but he's proved when he's been healthy, he's an elite player that is really reaching the prime of his career right now. It'd be an extremely silly move. There's no way you get enough back if you trade him.
I agree with you, Fred.
Thanks, Fred.
Thanks a lot. A lot of people on both sides of the issue, but I think that, you'd be trading Chris Bryant this year. You'd be conceding the fact that you're not ready and able to contend in the next two seasons.
Psycho's in Westchester. Hey, Psycho.
Hey, Psycho.
Love your show. I don't understand this. I mean, Dave, you answered my question when I was on hold. That does Chris Bryant want to stay in Chicago? I hope he wants to stay in Chicago, but does Scott Boras hate the Cubs that much and he's telling Bryant otherwise? And another thing, since Rendon signed yesterday for $245, I heard Arenado's on a trading block from Colorado and possibly going to the Dodgers. Now, if that's the case, the only free agent out there is Donaldson. Now, his value, if you want to get rid of Bryant, is gone down terrible, and I don't think you're going to get the value you deserve to get from him. And I don't want to see him get rid of Chris Bryant, but does Bryant hold the Cubs that, is he that upset taking that being in the minor leagues for that 1 month? That is he holding?
Well, losing a year of and thanks for the call.
Thanks, Psycho.
Losing an entire year is probably. Yeah, I'm sure that leaves a mark. And if it didn't, they wouldn't be in arbitration right now trying to get that year back. So I think that he did feel there was a manipulation of service time, and that, and he probably feels like they took advantage of him, and he probably feels like he has 1 year left, even though the arbitrator hasn't ruled on that
yet. That's official. I mean, they would not have filed a grievance had they not felt that way, and whether that was agent-driven or driven by Chris Bryant, it doesn't matter. The fact is that was a wedge that was driven between the two sides, and you wonder, only Chris Bryant knows how motivated he is to stay in Chicago. The one thing I keep going back to is that he reminded everybody during this conversation when it came up during the season, Scott Boras works for him, and the agent works for the player. And if the player is motivated to want to get something done or to stay in Chicago, that has to matter at some level. Does it always swing the scales in favor of the sentiment over the financial ramifications? Not always. But with Chris Bryant, you can't ignore that for a guy that won a World Series here.
Nor can you ignore the fact that Chris Bryant wouldn't have this arbitration hearing have gone on if he weren't on board with it.
Absolutely.
So he clearly is not doing handstands about that. Let's get to Ted. Ted is in Berwyn. Good morning, Ted.
Hey, Ted.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, I do agree with Chris Bryant. I'd be pissed off if I lost a 1 year of earning power in a league where those guys were making that type of money. That's number one. Number two, there's a couple of reasons why there's no backlash from me as a fan as it pertains to Chris Bryant possibly being traded. Number one with that, I'm sick of how the Cubs have been playing in the last 2 years. And you want to take a look at the leadership, and we've been told that Chris Bryant is the leader of the team and Rizzo is the leader of the team. I don't think so, but you have to take a look at those two individuals who are leaders of the team. They haven't been performing, and I'm ready to move on and get rid of Schwarber too. I don't know why we're not talking a lot about him being traded. And I do think we can get back value. I think there's a player who's just as good when he's healthy. When Bryant was the MVP of the league that year, there was a player right behind him in the other league, and that's Lindor. I think we get a player back just as good offensively, much, much better, superior defensively, and he'd be a leadoff hitter, and we'd have a shortstop and a second baseman. So those are my thoughts, and I want to hear what you got to say.
He's buddies with Javi Baez as well, Lindor.
They're best buds.
Yeah, that would be quite a dynamic double play combination.
But the problem is Cleveland wants to trade Lindor because they're not going to be able to pay him.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do they want with Chris Bryant?
It's not a trade partner match. No, it's not a perfect match. How about the Cubs get Kluber from the Indians, and that way, you know,
Kluber. It could be a great thing to get, but the problem is he's also kind of hurt, so you don't know long term where he's at. You don't know if he's short term where he's at. If you make that move, you've got to have more medical reports than any five men you know. I would be hesitant about something like that.
But you'd also celebrate it as a Sox fan getting him out of the division, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I would. You know what I really celebrate is getting him into our team. I think Frankie Lindor is an unbelievable talent, and I'd be all over paying him and making a deal to get him. You could talk me into that. Hard to do within the division.
Fair points about Chris Bryant as well. He's not had the good season the last couple of years that have been kind of MVP caliber type years like he had, you know, when he won it. But you mentioned Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber may be being shopped as well. We're not hearing a lot about that, though, and he's not going to have the same value in return.
Is there any possibility that Jason Hayward is being shopped and we're not hearing about that? Is there any chance that they're willing to eat half that contract just to get rid of him? I mean, if you start talking about how you're going to line guys up and what you're going to do with the money, if you're out looking at a center fielder from Japan, is that to have him come back to get rid of Hayward and try to sign Castellanos back? Or he's still available.
It's a great question.
But I don't know.
I think that's a lot of money to eat still with the contract commitment to him. But at some point,
it's the worst deal in the history of sports.
It's a terrible deal because of how limiting it is to your lineup, to how where you have to bat him and how often you have to play him.
And the pathetic thing about it is that so many people respond by saying things like, you know, oh, but, you know, they won the World Series. That's happenstance. They didn't win the World Series because of him. Oh, he gave the team meeting. That's all he did.
It's also 3 years ago.
And what's he done? What did he do that year? And what's he done since? And what does he project to do other than cash an amazing paycheck? I mean, it's not trust me, I get it. It's he's not cashing the kind of paycheck that
but,
that we read about today, $3 million every 2 weeks.
Oh gosh, for Cole Hamels.
For Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
$3 million every 2 weeks for 9 years. My God, that would ruin me.
That's more than $1 million per start.
That's an outrageous amount of money.
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting $3 million? First of all, could you imagine having $3 million? Start the fantasy
there. I can barely imagine having $3,000, honestly.
Every 2 weeks for 9 years.
And you know it is ridiculous? You know how much money Garrett Cole, Anthony Rendon, whomever is going to make? You know what else is ridiculous? Ticket prices and beer prices and concession prices. These guys are making a killing 80 times a year. They can afford this times 10.
But
I'm not crying
10.
For any billionaire.
I'm not crying for any of the billionaires. I'm saying when you read it, as $3 million every 2 weeks, it takes on a totally different tone.
Yeah.
It just makes me want to faint.
Speaking of wanting to faint, Dustin, you know, I sit next to him every single day. He has been waffling about his fantasy football playoff matchup coming up this week. Hopefully, coming up next, Dave Richard can give him some concrete answers so he can stop asking me, because I finished dead last in my league, Dustin. You don't want my help.
Oh, Dustin, how desperate are you that you're asking Kempo?
Did you say waffles?
You guys hungry? Somebody buy breakfast?
How about brats and waffles?
Hey.
That's tomorrow. Yeah, we're getting brats.
We're
getting
brats. Forget tomorrow. About chicken and waffles. How about brats and waffles?
And
waffles?
And there's a lot of people, a lot of listeners up that way. Come by. Yeah, come and see us. We'd love to talk to you, and we'd love to
buy you a brat.
Well, David apparently buying brats for people.
I heard him volunteer. You heard it. That's on the record.
Fresh!
Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Dave Richard is a Chicago guy made good. He's the fantasy football expert for CBS Sports, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Morning, Dave.
Gentlemen, it is good to hear your voices, and we're in the crunch time of the fantasy football postseason. People are playing their fantasy leagues. Trophies will be awarded soon, so we got to be on our A game this week.
All right. You know what? We're going to get right to the phone lines because it is desperate time and so many of your public seeks you. We got full phone lines. We'll start with Steve. He's in Tinley Park. Steve, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hi, guys. Big question here. Do I finally bench Alvin Kamara? I have Chris Carson, Aaron Jones, and Todd Gurley, and obviously I cannot lose.
Yeah, you've got the winning combination to do it. I think Carson, now that he's back as the primary guy for Seattle with Rashad Penny hurt, there's nothing to worry about there, and Kamara just has not been delivering good numbers. It's tougher to do in PPR because he does have potential to catch 7 or 8 passes, but he just doesn't look like himself, so I don't mind making that move.
Dave from Berwyn, you're on the score with Dave Richard.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Good morning. Dave, I want to know, should I start Dave Montgomery or Devin Singletary? What do you think of Galladay's prospects? Thank you.
I like Galladay's prospects because David Blau has learned to lean on him, and there's no more Marvin Jones for the rest of the year, and it's an easy matchup against Tampa Bay, so I think Galladay can come through with another touchdown just as he's done previously. And I think that you go with Singletary over Montgomery. I'm just a little concerned about how much work Montgomery will continue to get, and maybe it's not even about the work anymore. Maybe it's just about the pure production. I believe last week he averaged over 4 yards per carry, and it's only the fourth time this year he's averaged that much in a game. He's really touchdown dependent for fantasy purposes, and I'm not sure we can count on him for that against the Packers.
All right. Novell is in Olympia Fields. Novell, you're on with Dave Richard.
Thank you for taking my call. Good morning. I need two in a standard league, Mostert, Singletary, White, or Peterson. I need two.
It's going to be the first two, Mostert and Singletary. I think Mostert is going to be the primary guy for San Francisco until he falls off. And he's looked great the past couple of weeks. He played 60% of the snaps. It's rare to see a 49ers running back get that much work. And the other two guys, Coleman and Breida, they split the rest of the 40%. They had about 20% each. So as long as that's the case and as long as the 49ers are able to run the ball effectively, Mostert's going to be a league winner for folks. And he's got Atlanta this week. Their defense is shot up. I think you're going to see Mostert have another really good game.
Bobby from Lockport, you're on the score with Dave Richard.
Hey, Dave. This is a PPR league. I've got a couple RB1s that
have some question marks, Derrick Henry and Le'Veon Bell. And then I'm looking for two or possibly three with the flex. So I've got Henry, Bell, Mostert, Deion Lewis, and the other one is DeAndre Washington.
Well, Washington will get in there ahead of a bunch of that group, but certainly ahead of Mostert if he ends up being the guy for Oakland. But the Raiders are being coy about Josh Jacobs' status. You know he's got the fracture in his shoulder. He didn't play last week. Washington was amazing. A dream matchup this week against Jacksonville. It's the last game in Oakland, too. The Jaguars' defense looked like they checked out last week. I'd be stunned if they bounced back. But between Henry and Le'Veon Bell, even in the PPR league, it's a no-brainer for me. It's Derrick Henry. He's been playing great. I would trust him in a PPR league, a non-PPR league, an XYZ league, a DFS league, an elemental PQRST league. He's going to be outstanding for folks going up against Houston. The Titans' offense really revolves around him. And part of the reason why Tannehill is playing great is because of play action off of Derrick Henry's runs. It scares defenses enough that throws are easy for Tannehill to make. So to me, Henry is a no-brainer regardless of format.
I got to interrupt to ask you, Dave, if you don't like David Montgomery, do you like anyone on the Bears? Do you like the Packers? Do you like Aaron Jones in that spot? Given
you got to like Aaron Jones because his upside is huge. And I've got questions about the Bears' run defense without Akeem Hicks and Roquan Smith. I wonder how that's going to look, and I think the Packers – I know they've got Aaron Rodgers, but I feel like they're a team that wants to at least be balanced, if not run heavy, certainly lean on their running backs in the passing game as well. They've had a hard time coming up with a number two receiver opposite Davante Adams, and I think they're going to need their run game. And as for the Bears that I like this week in fantasy, there's two for sure. Allen Robinson is going to be a must-start. He just gets too many targets and makes so many plays. And Anthony Miller's been playing well, too. I believe he's got at least 13 PPR points in four straight games, something like that. Definitely double digits in four straight games. And ever since Trey Burton went down and Taylor Gabriel was concussed, Trubisky's been playing better. And I think Trubisky's a sneaky start this week. If you're playing DFS, I think you could use him. He's still kind of under the radar, despite the fact that he has found at least 20 fantasy points in four of his last five games. The hope is that he keeps running. That's got to be an element to his game. I think he plays better when he's involved, when he's running a little bit, when he's getting 20, 30, or 40 yards. I think he plays a little bit better, and this is a tough matchup for him, but I think he can come through for fantasy points if that continues to happen.
Dave, Texter asks about a specific question, Ryan Tannehill or Dak Prescott, and I guess more generally we're getting a lot of love for Ryan Tannehill on the text line. What do you think about his emergence?
This sounds crazy, but he's a top seven fantasy quarterback this week. He's been playing so well, and what he does is he provides a safe fantasy floor where you start and you go, okay, I won't get killed by Ryan Tannehill. He's not going to go out there and have a three-interception game and leave me with eight fantasy points. He hasn't done that. He's had at least 17 fantasy points in every start. He's had at least 22 fantasy points in six of seven starts, and the matchup against Houston profiles to be fairly high-scoring. I wouldn't be surprised if he had another game with 25-plus fantasy points. I would take him ahead of Dak Prescott, although both of them are top 10 quarterbacks.
Okay, back to the phone lines. We'll get to Bill and Joliet. Bill, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I got Jameis Winston or Aaron Rodgers. I got to play one of them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Winston, and I know it stinks that he just lost Mike Evans, but he's still going to be able to spread the ball around. He's got a bunch of big targets that he can lean on. Keep your eyes on Breshad Perriman and Justin Watson. Those are going to be the two dudes that ultimately end up replacing Evans. Winston, every time he rolls out of bed, he's good for 300 yards passing and a couple of scores, and the Lions' defense is toothless right now.
Jason in Chicago, you're on the Score with Dave Richard.
Good morning, guys. I'm in a PPR league, and I'm racking my brain. I have Julio Jones, and I have Zach Pascal, and I need every point this week. Dave, what do you think?
I'm going with Julio, and it'll be an easier decision if T.Y. Hilton comes back and plays. And he told the media yesterday that he intends on playing at New Orleans, and I don't know how effective he'll be. I could still certainly make the case that Pascal will be the better receiver for Indianapolis if that happens. But Julio Jones now has to play without Calvin Ridley, and I wonder if his targets start to spike a little bit more. Because there's no Calvin Ridley on the field, it's going to be hard for the Falcons to replace that element of their offense. But they still have Julio Jones. You know that he's awesome. Should be good for a minimum of 16 PPR fantasy points.
Lewis is in Downers Grove. Lewis, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, quick question. Do you go Zach Ertz or Jared Cook, or do you maybe double flex tight end, or go tight end in the flex?
Well, it's an easy decision because Ertz has been playing lights out and Jared Cook has a concussion and we don't know if he's going to play. So let's just work under the assumption that Cook does not play. That makes the decision easy. Ertz is your guy. Now, if they both play, then there is consideration to put Cook in the flex because he has been playing so well. And the matchup against Indianapolis, it should be a matchup winner for Jared Cook running downfield against those smaller safeties for the Colts.
Dave, I know you're not here for relationship advice, but a texter from 262 says, I matched up against my husband, who beat me in the championship game last year by 3 points. He has Lamar Jackson, and I'm trying to decide between Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr. Who should I play, or should I just concede the game now?
Never concede the game. What do you think this is? Some sort of, yeah, we're not playing Monopoly here at the kitchen table. We're playing fantasy football. This matters now. And I'd go with Cousins over Derek Carr. I'm not ready to give up on Cousins. I know he's got a tough matchup this week against the Chargers, but the only time he's been bad for fantasy purposes, really since week four, has been when the Vikings haven't needed him to win a game. You know, it's a blowout, Dalvin Cook scores, et cetera, et cetera. I think they're going to need him to win this game against the Chargers.
Matt is in Wooddale. Matt, you're on with Dave Richard.
Good morning, guys. I have a defensive question. Bears at Green Bay or Tampa Bay, I believe, playing Detroit?
I'll go with the Bears against Green Bay because as depleted as the Lions' offense is, the Bucs defense, just they might get a couple of sacks. I'd be surprised if they had a bunch of turnovers. The Bucs DST is one that you try to use in like a DFS tournament where you're trying to win $1 million and you need some Hail Marys to come through. The Bears are safer, but check your waiver wire to see if the Seahawks are out there. They're playing against the Panthers. I like their chances to have a good game.
Steve in Geneva, you're on the score with Dave Richard.
Go Bears!
Bears.
Bears.
Hey, I need two, like the sausages I just had for breakfast. Hey, I need Chubb, Singletary, Le'Veon Bell, or, of course, I got Ditka, too.
Ditka.
I'm going to go with Chubb and Le'Veon Bell, especially if it's a PPR league, that makes the most sense. I know that Bell's got a tough matchup against Baltimore, but their run defense hasn't been great. I'm more concerned about the offensive line for the Jets finding lanes for Le'Veon to run through. He's just running too patiently. And I this is fact. He doesn't have any carries this year for more than 19 yards. It's a little nerve-wracking, but he gets enough work. He averages about 20 touches per game that fantasy managers can still trust him.
Dave, we will be having sausages for breakfast tomorrow because we're broadcasting from – we're crossing the cheddar curtain, and we're broadcasting from the Brat Stop in a showdown for Packer Week. How about that?
Oh, man. I'm jealous. That's
I know
amazing.
You are.
Yeah. Come on over.
Yeah.
Fly in
I'm
for
on
it.
The next plane.
Jim is in Aurora. Jim, you're on with Dave Richard.
Yeah, hi. Do you trust the Bears' defense now? I got the Giants going for me. I lost Cook and Evans. I need every point I can get this week.
Yeah, if it's between the Bears and the Giants, I'll take the Bears against Green Bay. I don't see the Packers going out and putting 30 points on Chicago. I think the Bears' defense is just too good for that, and the Packers' offense is just missing a little bit of its typical explosiveness this year. So the Bears' defense is where I'm at.
Texter asked, Deshaun Watson or Drew Brees?
Watson's my number one quarterback this week. Now, Brees is my number three, so it's amazing that you have those two quarterbacks, but Watson at Tennessee is where I just go.
Don's in Chicago. Don, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, Dave, how you doing? Kind of in a quandary right here. You know, I picked up Tannehill off the waiver wire a few weeks back. He got hot. I got Mahomes. Who do I start? Big playoff game for me.
I know, and I can't get away from Patrick Mahomes. There's just so much upside there. There's question marks about the Chiefs' run game, and that Broncos secondary does have weaknesses in it that I think Mahomes can exploit. So I'm going to ride with Mahomes. If he's gotten you to this point in your fantasy playoffs, I think you got to stick with him.
All right, we're out of time. We have to squeeze in Chris from Evanston because it's a hometown thing. Chris, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, appreciate that. Quarterback question, Cousins, Carr, or Brady? Or I have an opportunity to pick up either Mayfield, Kyler Murray, a bunch of other free agents.
Yeah, unless Tannehill is one of those free agents that you speak of, I would actually go with Baker Mayfield at Arizona. I think the Cardinals' pass defense is one of the worst in the league. They lead the NFL in fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks. And Mayfield's going up against Cliff Kingsbury. Once upon a time, these two had a big rift, and I'm sure Mayfield, who normally isn't the petty type at all, is going to go out there and put up some numbers against his old coach.
Dave, thanks a ton, man. Always appreciate it. Great catching up.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great weekend.
You got it, guys.
That is Dave Richards, CBS Sports Fantasy Football Expert. We're going to have Biggs time next. We'll bring in our guy, Big Z. It's Mully and Haw on the Score. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.